I'll tell you what I want to hold on to. I want to hold on to Jesus. Amen. How about a hand for these guys? Very nice. They probably don't want me to do that. They're like, this is for Jesus, Ted, not for us. So, but I appreciate you. My name is Ted. Hello, everybody. It's good to be here in front of you. I'm honored that I was invited. It was a really great surprise to see such a great band this morning. So that was really cool. I have been working out in Eads, Colorado for the last 7 months, so 2.5 hours out, 2.5 hours back, so this is awesome, you know? And we had it's a traditional church out there, so we had a piano, and we had a wonderful lady who led us in hymns, so I've gotten a new appreciation for the hymns, so Jen, don't forget the hymns, okay? Don't forget the hymns. I graduated from Denver Seminary back in 2002, and I became a therapist, and I was working with really abused kids. Did that for 7 years. I pray that the work that I did there, that God can bless it and help those guys. Long story short, if I come back, I'll give you more of the details, but I needed to go back into the workforce. And off I went into sales. I was selling toilets. Really, you can laugh. Everybody needs a toilet, right? I did it for so long, and I switched jobs, and I did it for them for so long, and they laid me off. I thought that was rude. And then I went for another company, and I've been doing it, and I was driving to work the other day. This was about 7 months ago, and I was feeling sorry for myself. I was like, I hate selling toilets. I'm tired of selling toilets, Lord. You got to do something else. I'm sick of this, and I'm driving down the road. And a voice came into my head. It wasn't me. I know what I sound like, right? And it said, why aren't you preaching? And was gone. And I was like, I know I just heard it, but what? Why aren't you preaching? So I get together with Dr. Boswell. Wayne's been working with Dr. Boswell to get people up here to speak and everything like that. And Dr. Boswell had one question for me. You know what that question was? Why aren't you preaching? So he plugged me into a couple of churches, and that was 8 months ago. So about that. My family is here in front. I told them not to sit in the front row because I got this tooth thing going on, so if I slur a little bit and I spit, I apologize right now, but it's the way it is. Join me in prayer. Let me focus us a little bit more. Father, thank you for the gathering, for each person this morning, for the praise band, for leading us to you. And Father, I have to say, I just want to hold on to you. With everything we have, Lord, help us do that. Give me clear explanation of Scripture this morning. Help everyone here open their heart to hear what you have to say. Father, we invite you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have Scripture, turn it to John 21. I'm going to be speaking from ESV, so if it doesn't look like yours, that might be why. John 21 is kind of a really cool book. I've got 3 points for you today. The first point is going to be, we can't do it on our own, as I don't care how hard you try, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. The second point is going to be, where there is obedience, there's a blessing. This is cool because he didn't have this a couple of minutes ago. Where there is obedience, there is a blessing. And then the third point is going to be where Jesus is, love and grace will be there also. Love and grace will abound. John 21, let's start there in Scripture. And I'm going to bounce around. If I look unorganized, it's because I've never done off a stand before. I've always had this huge pulpit, you know, those old churches, this huge thing. Anyway, 21, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it on the right side of the boat, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came to the boat, dragged the net full of fish, and they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. We're going to stop there. After this, at verse 1, is referring back to everything that has happened the last couple of days, really, about 8 days. So Jesus is crucified, right? A good Easter message, right? So I'm picking up right from there. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. The tomb is what? Thank you. Yes, it's empty. And the disciples all leave there, and they go check it out. That night, in a locked room, Jesus shows up and shows himself to everybody, right? Thomas, doubting Thomas, right? The next time they see Jesus is doubting Thomas gets to touch the holes in his hand and the sword hole in his side. And here we are. When Peter says, I'm going fishing, I want you guys to think about that right now. Peter has denied Christ, right? That was way back, right? In the garden, or actually in the courtyard. So he's denied Christ. He hasn't had a chance to have a conversation with Christ. He has to be feeling a little bit frustrated, a little bit, what do I do now? So when he says, I'm going fishing, I don't want to hurt the mic here. I think it's more like, I'm going fishing, right? He's frustrated. He has no desire. He doesn't know what to do. He's going back to what he did before Jesus came to find him. What did Jesus say? You can fish for men, and I'll make you a fisher of men. So he's going back to what he knows. They fish all night long, and what happens? They get nothing. My first point for you today is you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Oh, look at there. You can't do it on your own. They went back. They're professionals, right? They know how to fish. They know how to use these nets. They know how to throw them out. They know how to wind up the fish. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. Think about your own life for a second. This is where we go from scripture to application, and I want you to send a moment in your mind and go, what am I trying to do on my own? What am I doing? Right? I can sell toilets all day long. Why am I not happy selling toilets? Because I'm doing it on my own, right? I'm doing it on my own. So, what does Jesus say? At daybreak, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was his. Jesus said to them, children, I think that's funny. If you have a King James version or even an NIV version, it's going to say friends. ESV goes, children, did you catch any fish? No. And he says, and I'm on verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. It's like that there's something underneath the boat, right, that keeps the fish from coming through. There's nothing there. What are we seeing here? We're seeing a miracle happen. We're seeing Jesus blessing them. So what do they do? My second point is obedience will bring a blessing. You throw that net on the other side of the boat, and now they barely can move it. It's so full of everything. Of fish, 153 of them. Okay, jump back to that application piece for me. If you are trying to do something on your own, and we throw that net on the other side, what might happen? What does it even look like? Does that make sense, you guys? What does it even look like to throw the net on the other side? See, this is very personal for each one of you, because you have to think about, what am I struggling with, right? I work with men every Thursday in jail. They're actually in a transitional house. So they've done their time in jail. They're in a house, and they're getting ready to leave and get back into society. And very slowly, they have to go through more classes, and they have to do different things. But I ask them all the time, where are you fishing, right? Where are you fishing? Are you fishing someplace that you're going to catch fish, or are you doing it on your own? And they've been through enough things with me, they get that. They understand that. No, I'm doing it on my own, Ted. I'm probably going to be using drugs in a couple of weeks. And I'm like, do you hear what you're saying? You just said you're probably going to be doing more drugs, but yet you don't change what you're doing. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. What do we call that? Right? Insanity. Right? So I talk to these guys, and I'm like, guys, figure out what it means to throw that net on the other side of the boat. Get the blessing. Go for the blessing. Don't sit there in your wallow, poor me. Don't sit there in something that is not working for the kingdom. What? Working for the kingdom. What do you mean by that? Anything that I do in my life, I want it to work for God's kingdom. Am I building somebody? Am I speaking to somebody? Am I speaking scripture? Am I praying for somebody? Am I thinking about Jesus in that person's life? Or am I just on my own, doing it my way? You can't do it on your own. As easy as you might think it is to sell toilets, I pray about them stupid things all the time, right? I pray about the guys that I work with. I pray about the trucks that we have out on the road. I pray about the guys that we work with because they're all individuals, right? And then what happens when you get a whole bunch of people together? You get a whole bunch of different ideas. You get a whole bunch of emotions. You get a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I'm in charge of $8 million worth of toilet sales. I think that's hilarious. Go ahead, laugh. I think it's hilarious. I'm like, how do you get to $8 million of toilets? So when I threw the net on the other side, right, went back to, it's a long story, so I'll give you really short. We went back to my owner. We went back to HR. We went back to all these people, and they say, if we're ever going to sell another toilet, if we're going to maintain what we got, if we're going to grow, we need to totally change what we're doing. And the owner got on board, and he hired a new boss for me. He hired a whole bunch of different people. But that's kind of how it works in life, and that's what Jesus is saying here is, think about what you're doing. Don't try to do it on your own. Throw that net on the other side, and let's see the blessing that comes in. Now I'm going to go someplace. Folks, I don't want you to miss this. This is beautiful. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in. It was so big. The blessing was so big because of the quantity of fish. That the disciples whom Jesus loved, who is that? You guys know? I love how he calls himself this. The disciple that Jesus loves is John, right? That's what I'm going to say. I'm the husband my wife loves. That doesn't work. Never mind. Like she has one that she doesn't love. The disciple that Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, hey, it's the Lord. He recognized who it was. It's the Lord. So what does Peter do? My gregarious buddy who cuts the ear off, right, and denies Christ. What's he do? He gets his clothes because he was working, so he had like just a swimsuit on, let's say, or something that he could get dirty. He puts his clothes on, and then what's he do? Jumps in the water. I think that's backwards. I'm like, Peter, hold it above the water. Walk through the water so you dry. Anyway, just a little thing. He gets to shore. This is the beautiful part. Verse 9, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Guys, don't miss that beautiful picture. Welcoming. They have been through so much with Jesus, trying to understand who he is, trying to understand his miracles, trying to understand the fact that he raised from the dead, trying to live with himself, the fact that he denied Christ. And what does Jesus do with all of that? Come on. Come have breakfast. Don't stay there. I don't care what side of the net or the boat you're throwing your net on. Come have breakfast. I think when we sit for a minute and we think about what Jesus is doing there, it's kind of cool. A very inviting scene. What's our world want to do? Right? I can think real fast. The world just, you know, we want more money. We want more of this. You can't do that. You got to build yourself up to here. If you're not fighting for your position, you're nothing. It's not inviting. I don't see it. There's so much argument on TV. There's so much argument in the news. There's so much argument with our government all over, and all they have to do is slow down and come have breakfast. Where Jesus is, grace and love is going to abound. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, I want you to hear that. Where Jesus is, grace and love are going to be there. They're going to abound. He's going to call you in. The Bible tells us that no one comes to the Father but through Christ. That's Scripture. If you guys think about it, is He calling this morning? Is there something happening in your life where you can go, that's the fire. That's the fire. That's the meal. That's the invitation. And maybe you got your blinders on, right? Maybe you're like this, and you're walking through life so fast. I know Monday through Friday go really quick for us. It goes even faster for my wife and her job. We got to slow down and look for the invitation. Now, I'm not even using my notes. I don't know what they're for. Let me say this. Maybe a year ago, maybe 20 months ago, maybe 3 years ago, whatever, you did accept Christ. You did go and accepted His breakfast offering, right? Meaning you accepted Christ into your life. But where are you today? Are you casting that net correctly? Do you got to re-look at that? Maybe you've never accepted Christ. Maybe this fire that I'm talking about, you're kind of going, Ted, I really don't get that. That's fine. Because I think wherever we are, wherever you are in your life, whatever Christ is doing with you right now, He's asking you, come on, come have some bread, come have some fish, and moves on, right? Told you I'd be short. Let me look at my notes. There's something here I wanna get. There's a book out there called Experiencing God. If you've done it, raise your hand. Have you ever done a study by Experiencing God? Anybody? So a lot of you have some really good study material right now. Experiencing God by Blackaby. And this is what he says. The whole book is about coming in line with Jesus, looking for where Jesus is working. It's kind of saying the same thing I've said in 15 minutes here, but he's saying, what I want you to do is look for where God's working and then cast your net there. The disciples could have easily said, I'm going to continue to fish the left side, because if we go back historically and look, that's how the fishermen did it. They threw the net on the left side and they always moved around, right? I thought that was an interesting fact. What Blackaby is saying is, watch where Jesus is working and throw your net there. Throw your net where Jesus is working. So what does that mean to us, right? It means I'm watching for where the breakfast fire, if you will, is happening maybe in somebody else's life. And they might not see it. It means I'm not saying no to Jesus. I'm trying to figure out how's my life work with Him, and I keep pursuing Him in every single way I can. It's a powerful study, and I think you'll leave looking at it like I am. There's a fire over there. There's a breakfast over there. I wonder what He's doing. Let me go that way. A lot of these churches I work with, when I come here, I'm always interested, what is God doing in this church? And it doesn't take you long to really look at, you know, a band that's playing like this. I'm like, is that your praise band? No, we're in between. Oh, okay. But that's a second church in this building. Oh, okay. We got the childcare thing. I'm like, oh, okay. God's moving in different places. We just got to bring it all together. We've got to bring it all together. Same thing in your professional life. Who's He moving in around you? Let me end with this. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish, we're going to take a moment, we're going to do communion this morning. I want you to think about this. You go to Matthew 26, 26 is where communion happens, right, in Matthew. Luke 22. And there he does a supper with them, right? And Jesus says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Take and drink. And do it in remembrance of me. There's something that if you're a follower of Christ, we do to remember what Christ has done for us. So I'm giving you a couple of different pictures. We've got the communion. We got a fire. We've got the net. And I want you to take one of those with you that you can hold on to. So as you walk your life this week, throw your net different. Look for the blessing. Watch for where he's working. You might need to simply remember. So I'll invite Jen up to do a little bit of music for us. But as she plays, two things are going to happen. If you feel that God is calling you to, he's just calling you, right? If you feel that fireplace, that the breakfast and the bread and something like that is an invitation that you want to know more about, and you've never talked about that before, between me and Wayne and one of the other elders here, I'm sure we can help you with that. If you're at that point where you're going, I've been throwing that net on the other side way too long, I've been doing it on my own, and I need to change that, then I want you to come up here and receive prayer for that. See, we can do things on our own. We can continue. You can continue to throw that net. I tell the guys on Thursday, throw that net all you want, brother. You keep going. But at some point, you're going to have to trust Jesus when he says, throw it on the other side of the net and receive the blessing, 153 fish. And or you're going to have to say, I'm going to accept that invitation to come ashore and have some bread and some fish. So we're going to take a couple of minutes here. If you would like prayer, I'm going to be over here. But at the same time, if you would like to partake so that we follow the command of Christ, do this in remembrance of me, right? Then I want you to come up here and do that. The way this works is you just simply come up, take the bread, dip it in the wine, and then go back to your seat. Okay? Okay.